Yeah, baby, it is the Fantasy Feast podcast, and we love those of you that check out DraftKings.com. It's awesome. It's been around for a while. You guys have heard of it. Some of you, for whatever reason, still haven't tried it. Dude, they got all kinds of leagues. You can play against other people. You can play against your buddies. You can play against people of similar or different skill level. It's awesome. Just get to DraftKings.com now. Use our promo code FEAST to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code FEAST to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest is totally free to enter, so why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, it's the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. So nice we do it twice. Each and every week, Evan somehow gives you his thoughts on every single team, every single player. It is ridiculous. It's amazing. It's presented by BetOnline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast with the best odds and fastest payouts. All right, Evan, let's get to the late games as well as the Sunday nighter and the Monday nighter. Even after we were recording part one yesterday, I was excited to get your thoughts on this Seahawks-Rams matchup. Seahawks defense, maybe not what they used to be. Now they go on the road against the Rams who, man, Todd Gurley looks like a different guy. It's amazing what a guy can look like when you give him the ball in space. I mean, he looks explosive, fast. He's fun to watch now.
Yeah, imagine playing Benny Cunningham over him in the passing game. Imagine making that decision because that's what last year's Rams did. Todd Gurley has been sensational. I think that the Seahawks still have a good defense, but I would say that Todd Gurley right now has to be considered matchup-proof, and his matchups are going to get much, much tougher weeks 5 through 11 than they have been so far. But his usage, I mean – you know, did we fade David Johnson against the Seahawks last year? No, we did not. You know, and he had one of his games against the Seahawks. He was the number one overall fantasy running back. And this, you know, this is a game where the Seahawks are on the road. So really no concerns about Todd Gurley from a season-long standpoint, and he will be under-owned in daily fantasy. Sammy Watkins, huge disappointment. Now starts the stretch where he will be facing a ton of the NFL's top cornerbacks, like a wide receiver 3/4. He had 2 targets last week in a game where the Rams scored 35 points against the Cowboys. You know, Jared Goff likes to throw the ball in the middle of the field. And that's Todd Gurley, and that's Cooper Kupp, and that's, you know, maybe mixing in some Tyler Higbee or Gerald Everett from time to time. And Sammy Watkins is like going to be a decoy more often than not. I'm sure that he will break big plays at some point, but you know, a lot of what goes into a guy having fantasy value is reliability, dependability, projectability. And Sammy Watkins has none of those. So, you know, I own him in one season long league and, you know, not excited to play him this week and won't be excited to play him going forward. Cooper Kupp does make sense this week. Now, his volume has not been big. If you look at, like, the Jared Goff's target distributions, he's not, like, feeding one guy in particular targets, with the exception of Todd Gurley, of course. But amongst his receivers and his tight ends, nobody's getting peppered with targets. And so, you know, that takes some of the reliability away from Cooper Kupp. But I think that he's got the best chance at being the most productive Rams wideout this week. Robert Woods popped up for a 100-yard game in week 3 against San Francisco, went back into a shell last week against Dallas. Although, this is another case of where I just don't understand how the play was not a touchdown, but he scored a touchdown last week, and it was like, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. I don't know. Either way, I really think that he should have had a touchdown last week, and he did not. With that said, you know, not trying to start him against Seattle. On the other side, Russ goes up against Russ is hot right now. He's been a top five fantasy quarterback in back-to-back weeks. He was the number 16 quarterback in week two. So he's really only had one really bad fantasy game, and that was in week one at Lambeau. Other than that, he's been a guy who has floated you or helped you won your week. And now he's going up against a Rams defense that has given up the most points in football. So he is locked in. Doug Baldwin, I think, showed enough last week to be used confidently. He will be further removed from his groin injury this week. Tyler Lockett, I thought he had a chance at a real big game last week. He did wind up going over 80 total yards, so he wasn't a dud by any means. But I think that he is usable this week with all the talent that is on bye. You know, we mentioned on the first podcast, the Falcons, Saints, Redskins, Broncos. You know, there are a lot of every week fantasy starters on those teams. And so you can definitely look at a guy like Tyler Lockett. He's playing a ton of snaps, and he's been productive. He's had a couple of good games so far. He had a 6 for 64 a couple of weeks ago as well. Pretty much same deal with Paul Richardson. I think that Tyler Lockett is a better player than Paul Richardson, but you know, a guy that you can look at against a defense that just hemorrhages points and yards. Jimmy Graham, you know, the Rams are really good against tight ends, but you know, Jimmy Graham, he's been good enough the past couple of weeks that I think you can lock him in with confidence. Really don't know what to say about the RBs. So unfortunate about Chris Carson. I mean, you know, from not just a fantasy angle, but from a real life angle. I mean, that was a dude worth rooting for, and he, you know, suffered the leg fracture, and that was a shame. And I don't know where to go from here. CJ Procise is due back. The Seahawks have kind of hinted that Thomas Rawls would reemerge as their lead back if he's healthy. I think he's the best runner on the roster. With that said, Eddie Lacy actually had a couple of good runs last week against the Colts. That's the best that he's looked in a Seahawks uniform. And then J.D. McKissic, of course, had the most fantasy points in the backfield last week. So, you know, this is a wait-and-see week for the Seahawks backfield. I do think it is worth chasing. I think that I would rank them going forward for the rest of the season probably number one, Thomas Rawls, number two, C.J. Procise, number three, Eddie Lacy, number four, J.D. McKissic.
All right, let's move on and get to Baltimore and their horrific offense against Oakland, which looks like it'll be EJ Manuel time for a Raiders team that surprisingly has not been able to run the ball very well.
Yeah, they have, you know, in fairness to them, they have had some difficult matchups. I remember listening to Greg Cosell talk about this before the season, and you know, he was wondering how is Marshawn Lynch going to fit into this offense, because Marshawn Lynch is like a volume and rhythm runner. And he's a guy that, even if you go back historically, you know, and look at like when they used to rotate him with C.J. Spiller in Buffalo, I mean, he was super ineffective. And they traded him to Seattle, and he exploded when the Seahawks really committed to giving him 20 touches a game. And so far, he has failed in the role of being the lead part of a committee. But now they're in a situation where they have to change what they've been doing. And they need to focus this offense and make Marshawn Lynch the centerpiece of this offense. And now they're catching a Ravens team that has not played good run defense 3 weeks in a row without Brandon Williams, and it does not look like Brandon Williams is going to be back. They're catching this Ravens team that has struggled in run defense coming all the way across the country to their house. I mean, they need to saddle up beast mode with friggin' EJ Manuel at quarterback and make him the centerpiece. And I mean, I think that they're making a mistake if they don't. you know, we're kind of entering now or never situation for Marshawn Lynch in fantasy. It needs to happen. It needs to happen in real life, and it needs to happen in fantasy. The pass catchers are, you know, again, when we have the backup quarterbacks in, they can have games where they go like 9 for 23 for 86 yards. You know, like that is always within the range of outcomes. It's also within the range of outcomes that, you know, that a pass catcher is able to break a big play and pay off in fantasy. It's just you got to know what you're getting into with these guys, and it's almost impossible to have any sort of reasonable projection for Michael Crabtree or Jared Cook or, you know, Amari Cooper or anyone with these backup quarterbacks in. I mean, EJ Manuel is not good. We know that. He's a 58.5 career percent passer, 6.4 yards per attempt. That's pretty much all I have to say about the Raiders offense. The Ravens offense is bad enough and is in a bad enough spot this week that I think the Raiders are a streamable defense. The Raiders do not have a good defense, but the spot is good enough that they are a legitimate streamer play this week. I'd go with the Giants over them. We talked about the Giants on the first podcast, but the Raiders would be in the mix if I was unable to get the Giants. Buck Allen continues to be the Ravens, essentially their lead back, because he plays way more snaps than anybody else, but they've reduced his carries in every single game. I mean, he had 21 carries in week one. He had two last week. He is getting a bunch of targets, and therefore he maintains value in PPR. But, you know, these other guys, I mean, Terrence West has just been awful. Alex Collins has been good, but fumbling, you know, even against the Raiders. I mean, Alex Collins, he still doesn't have a game where he's hit double-digit touches. So Alex Collins, I mean, I don't know how you can use him in fantasy, even against the Raiders. Buck Allen does make some sense in PPR. The receivers, oh, man. You know, I don't really know what to say about the receivers. Your plan is to hope that Joe Flacco can have a good game and, you know, be able to connect maybe with a big play to Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace did have a good week last week, but, you know, no one's really getting fed a lot of targets. Perryman is a ghost. Macklin, you know, he should be better. He has a good matchup this week. And, you know, Wallace technically has a good matchup, but, I mean, he has one good game, and then in his other three games he has single-digit yards. So I don't know how you could even have any sort of trust in him. Ben Watson would be the strongest play in the Ravens pass catcher core. He's at least shown some signs of consistency and really like to attack the Raiders defense with tight ends, and that'll do it for this game.
Okay, we got the Packers. It's the Cowboys. It's the marquee game of the late games. Why don't you start with the Pack? They're coming off some extra rest.
Don't have enough information to talk about the running backs. Aaron Rodgers should light this game on fire. I know that there was a regular season game last year where Aaron Rodgers played real poorly against the Cowboys and was disappointing, but he came back in the playoffs, had a monster game against them. And I expect a monster game. It looks like they may even have Devontae Adams. Like, their pass catcher core is going to be at full strength for the first time, I believe, since week one. Jordy should rip it. Randall Cobb has been excellent. He's an every week's fantasy starter at this point. Devontae Adams has been up and down, but you know, the highs are good enough that you should be willing to live with the lows. Martellus Bennett, the volume has been there, and the Cowboys get crushed by tight ends. So he's not someone that I'm trying to back away from yet, even though his results have been a little bit disappointing. On the Cowboys side, love Dak. Dak, I think, is going to be my cash game quarterback this week in Daily Fantasy. Love Zeke. You know, the Cowboys should have fed him more in the second half. They were rolling when they were feeding him. He had 16 first half touches last week, and they kind of went away from him and put themselves in a bunch of third and longs in the second half of the game. And, you know, they just were unable to convert. It's hard to convert third and longs. You do not want to be in situations like that. The Cowboys were, and that's why they wound up blowing that game. Dez has been excellent. I mean, he made it out of maybe the toughest, you know, first four games that you could even think of as a top 20 fantasy receiver, and he should light this game on fire. That's exactly what he did against the Packers in the playoffs last year. The other pass catchers they've been tough. I mean, Cole Beasley has gone 11 straight games without a touchdown, has not gotten to 50 yards in a game since last Thanksgiving. That's right around the time that the Cowboys started talking about him having a hamstring injury. I wonder if he just has not been the same guy. You know, it's hard to tell when you watch him. I mean, I think he looks fine to me, but he's just not been a big part of their offense. Terrence Williams, Bryce Butler essentially canceled each other out. The Packers have played good tight end defense so far, but I think that this is a game where Jason Witten can get it back going. He was great in the first two games, real bad in the weeks three and four. But he is second on the team in red zone targets, and this projects as a high-scoring game. The second highest total game on the week behind only Tampa Bay, New England, and the highest total game among Sunday and Monday's games.
Not too many more to go. Let's get to Sunday night. How about this matchup Sunday night? The Chiefs and the Texans. That looks a lot more interesting than it did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, really.
Evan, you're the worst analyst ever. You said Deshaun Watson was terrible.
Oh, I'm aware.
Dude, I'm just kidding. You've already said you're sorry like five times. Dude, nobody's perfect. You ever watch the NFL draft? Nobody's perfect. Nobody thought he'd be this good. If the Texans thought he'd be this good, they would have started him in the opener. So don't be so hard on yourself. They're as surprised as anybody. Trust me.
I've never seen a player make such rapid improvement. I mean, And it's hats off to him and, you know, his study habits, and he's a great human being. And, I mean, you know, he's been incredible. I mean, I actually wound up playing a decent amount of him in Daily Fantasy last week just because I know that I can be wrong about things, and I really, really benefited from him. I mean, I wound up having a good, really good week in Daily Fantasy just from, like, being able to, like, step back and be like, you know, I could be very wrong about this, and this is a great matchup for Deshaun Watson. So I had some stacks with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, and that gave me a really good week in Daily Fantasy. And I think that going forward, every single week we should have exposure to that stack. You know, it was like this with Cam Newton and Greg Olsen in 2015, where just every single week you want to have some of that in your daily fantasy portfolio because they can have monster weeks together. And Deshaun Watson, so the Chiefs, I know they are regarded as a difficult matchup. However, they have given up the six most passing yards in the NFL, and they've given up the second most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. They're a man coverage defense. We like to play mobile quarterbacks against man coverage defenses. And so I think that, you know, if people are looking at this game as like, oh, well, Deshaun Watson is going to come back to earth this week because he's facing the Chiefs, who, by the way, are on a short week road trip. I don't know about that. Deshaun Watson is a great play in all forms of fantasy. I'm going to definitely have stacks with him and DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, runs 70% of his routes away from Marcus Peters' side. Marcus Peters, of course, got torched for two touchdowns on Monday night. But the matchup is good for DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to get a lot of Terrence Mitchell. He plays in the slot enough to get – I mean, the connection between Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins is very similar to the connection that Deshaun Watson had with Mike Williams at Clemson. When they run the exact same type of routes, they win in very similar ways, and the connection has been almost unstoppable with what the Titans and the Patriots threw at them. So I expect that to very much continue. Deshaun Watson has targeted DeAndre Hopkins 44 times so far this season. The next closest player that he has targeted, Bruce Ellington, with 12. So that's a massive disparity. Will Fuller will make a push for that eventually, although Will Fuller never really projected as a high-volume receiver. He did score a couple of red zone touchdowns last week. He's going to get a little bit more Peters than DeAndre Hopkins in this game. But what Will Fuller really brings to this offense is another element of speed on the outside. DeAndre Hopkins not really a speed guy. Bruce Ellington is, but he's a slot receiver. And Will Fuller gives this offense an entirely new dimension. I think that Ryan Griffin is also in play this week. He was really good in week three against the Patriots, not as good last week. But the Chiefs have been really up and down in tight end coverage since losing Eric Berry. And Ryan Griffin is going to be on the field a lot. So I think that he is, I'm using him in a league this week. Now it's a 16-team league, but you know I'm streaming him this week. The RBs, Deontay Foreman has double-digit touches in three straight weeks. I was very surprised to see him on a bunch of my waiver wires last week. He has like league-winning potential if he catches a break in this offense that looks like it is going to be hyper-efficient. With a mobile quarterback and a lot of speed at the slot and right side receiver positions. This offense has a really, really high ceiling. And, I realize that they just faced the worst two defenses in the league. I mean, the worst two pass defenses in the league. But, you know, Deshaun Watson is getting better every week, and they have an underrated amount of talent at the skill positions right now. Lamar Miller scored a couple of touchdowns last week. He's another guy who can benefit if this team continues to, play at the level or even at 80% of the level that it has the past 2 weeks. It looked scary for him a couple of weeks ago against the Bengals when Deontay Foreman started to cut into his carries, but Lamar Miller was over 20 touches last week, and it looks right now like he is definitely not going to go away, and he is the clear lead back. On the other side, I think that the matchups are probably underrated on the Texans side. The matchups are not as, not as standout on the Chiefs side, but the Chiefs have been such an efficient offense so far that it's become pretty hard to bet against them. Tyreek Hill may be worth noting. It's probably just random, random variance. But Tyreek Hill has had two big games and two slow games, and both of his big games occurred on the road. The Chiefs, of course, will be on the road this week. The Texans are historically really, really good against tight ends, and they have been again this year. But Travis Kelce has played. So the Chiefs and the Texans have played three times over the past couple of years. Because they played in the playoffs and they've played each of the last two regular seasons, Travis Kelce has smashed in two of those three. And in the bad one, he had five catches. So no real concerns about him. Kareem Hunt leads the NFL in total yards from scrimmage by almost 60 yards. So while the Texans have played good run defense, this is Kareem Hunt, and he's going to get 20 touches, and he's got big playability, and he's been awesome in fantasy. And then Alex Smith is a tougher one for me. He's like in that Carson Wentz tier right now. And I mean, just no real strong feelings, I would say, about Alex Smith at Houston.
Last but not least, we've got Monday Night Football. It's the Vikings with their quarterback situation still up in the air for another week. And Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. What do you got, Evan?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Trubisky, man. He looked awesome in the preseason. Had that kind of like Dak Prescott, you know, Russell Wilson kind of movement to him where there's no wasted motion. Everything is just super decisive. They, you know, used him on a ton of rollouts and boots, and that I think can be very good for the Bears running game. I think it's very good news for Jordan Howard. And he was so accurate in the preseason. I mean, every ball that he threw was right on the money. You know, and accuracy is not just getting the passes completed. It is giving your receivers run-after-catch opportunities. Now, what he's going to be dealing with, of course, is the worst wide receiver unit in the league. And I wouldn't say that any guy really stood out in the preseason with Mitchell Trubisky, maybe a little Kendall Wright. And he does have the best matchup as a slot receiver against the Vikings. You want to avoid you want to avoid Xavier Rhodes. You don't want to avoid Trey Waynes. But Kendall Wright, I think that he is mildly in play this week. I think Zach Miller is mildly in play this week. But I think they're going to try to run the ball and protect their rookie quarterback. I still think Trubisky can have a good game statistically. The Vikings don't scare me as much as a fantasy target when they are on the road. They have pretty big defensive home road splits. And I think Trubisky can have a solid first start. And I also kind of like the Bears defense. I do not think that Sam Bradford is going to be back. And we've seen the best of Case Keenum, and we've seen the worst of Case Keenum, and usually we get the worst. And now they're on the road against this Bears team that I think has a chance to rally around Mitchell Trubisky. And the Bears are the cheapest defense in daily fantasy this week on the board. The Bears are a pass funnel. And that would theoretically bode well for Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph, but it's not going to be. You can't have any expectations of consistency. You're really just betting on the players individually, and it is so, you know, their production is so tied to the quarterback that you have to understand that if Stephon Diggs has a bad game, you know, that was in his range of outcomes. You know, that's going to happen when you have a backup quarterback in there. So all those guys are really, really volatile. I do think that Kyle Rudolph stands to be a beneficiary of the Vikings losing their running game. I don't think they're going to have much of a running game at all with Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon in there. I think that Latavius Murray is the best bet for carries right now. I think that he's going to struggle to find success against a good Bears defense on the road. Latavius Murray really wasn't even effective last year he averaged like 4 yards per carry flat behind what was one of the best offensive lines in football in Oakland. So he's like a touchdown or bust guy, you know, maybe in the same category as like a LeGarrette Blount. I think Jerick McKinnon is worth grabbing because in all leagues because he should be their primary pass catching back. But you know, we've seen Jerick McKinnon before, and I don't think the Vikings have any inclination toward using him as a workhorse. You know, even if Latavius got hurt, I think that they would probably bring in another guy. I think that pretty much takes care of that game. I do think that the Bears are a viable streamer. Their defense.
Yeah, you had said that. Nice. I love it. So now what do? You take everything from part one, you take everything from part two, and you use it at draft. Get the app on your phone. Play in a real live snake draft in under 5 minutes. They last just a week, so you can play for week five right now. Best part, you're playing for cold hard cash, and your chance of winning 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code FEAST. That's the key. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code FEAST. Gets even better, by the way. Draft.com is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Fantasy Feast listeners a money-back guarantee up to 100 bones. $100, if for those of you that aren't cool. Anyway, just search Draft in your app store or go to Draft.com. Come play free right now with promo code FEAST, baby. And that'll do it for both Fantasy Feasts for Week 5. Hopefully you guys are rolling in your leagues. I get the NFL results. Most of those are going pretty well. I'm 3-1 in my season long. Beat my boy Justin Christopher last weekend, who I know is a listener. You all are. I'm hoping to keep it going. Dalvin Cook injury hurt me, but that's okay. I got some tips from Evan. I'm good. You guys are good. Appreciate the retweets and the likes so much. Twitter, Facebook, it helps. And if you want the Madden giveaway this week, you just got to be one of the new signups at tuckheads.com, and I'm going to pick one of them and announce it on Monday. Other than that, I'm totally stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar, because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.